Amen.
If you have your Bibles tonight, Genesis chapter number 4. And while they're doing that, let me make this quick announcement. Well, there's two of them. Men's missions trip, the men's schedule for the mission trip. Sunday night after church in the conference room down the hallway, we'll have about a 5-10 minute meeting. So if you're planning to go, please, I need to meet every one of you down there. If you get the word around, if you know somebody that has signed up, be sure and let them know that. And next Wednesday night, 7 p.m., Christmas service in this room. Don't miss it. Got a special treat, Texas size, whatever we're going to do. And it starts with all the children, 3 years old, all the way up. You don't want to miss it. Your kid's going to be so disappointed if you're not here. And I clear the platform. All this is here. Get a chair up here. Take the Bible, Luke chapter 2, and read the children's, the Christmas story. Many people call it a children's story, but it's a Christmas story. And we'll read it, and I'll bring a message out of that. Of course, if I've got 3, 4, and 5 years old, the message is brief. And so we'll look forward to that. And then I'll give out all of the gifts. I've got 100 and something of them. So you just got to be in the top 100 to get it, or the bottom 100. It starts at 3, okay? But we will skip around a little bit. That way, older people, middle-aged people, you got a shot to get it. So we'll look at that, have a good time with it. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 4. This is the chapter of firsts. We're going to look at it. You'll notice, if you would, in the outline, I'm going to give you the outline first, the main numbers. Roman numeral 1, the first offerings were given. And then Roman numeral 2, the first murder was committed. Then Roman numeral 3, the first city was established by Cain. And we'll look at that, and I'll give you the fourth one in at the end of the message. But you'll notice the first offerings. Now, this is critical tonight. You'll notice with me, if you would, I'm going to read Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived to bear Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. So the first two boys were born. Cain was the firstborn. Abel was the second. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. You'll notice, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain, verse 5, and his offering, he had not respect. He did not accept it. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, I want to take just a minute. Number one in the outline, Roman numeral 1, the first offerings were given. Now, it goes back to chapter 3, verse 21. If you'll notice, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So you have to understand that God was the first one to slay an animal. And the animal was slain, his blood was shed, and his skin was taken to cover Adam and Eve. They covered themselves in leaves, and the Lord said, who told you we're naked? Well, we've hidden ourselves, and he made them coats. They didn't know how to do that. And this is the first example of someone sinning and God having to shed blood to take care of their sin. Now, I am certain, and you'll look in this passage, it does not say that God gave them any instruction. But if you'll notice, in process of time, verse 3, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstlings. So they knew to bring an offering to the Lord. And there is no way that God did not give them instruction based on chapter 3, verse 21. I had to shed a lamb's blood to give you covering. Now, in the future, anytime you're going to make an offering to me, anytime you're going to give an offering to me out of your devotion to me, it must be of blood, because blood is what's going to wash away sin. And Genesis 3:15 tells of Jesus Christ, and his heel would be bruised and the head of the serpent would be bruised. The first real mention of the Messiah that would come, the one that would die, the Savior of the world. Now, notice with me, if you would, in chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now, we're going to take just a minute. Look in the outline. A, God had apparently given Adam and his family previous instructions about worshiping him and offerings. Now, you know that the Lord does not expect things of us that he doesn't teach us first. And so in the early days, there was no Bible. So you know that God used chapter 3 and verse 21 to explain to them the way to offer a sacrifice to him. And understand, throughout history, notice if you would in Romans number A1, they both knew to bring an offering. Because they both bring an offering. And you'll notice in verse 3, it says in process of time. But they brought an offering, it seems like, the same time. So God must have set up a time and said, on this day, bring an offering. Bring something to me, a gift to me. And it needs to be of blood. Well, Cain, being an unspiritual man, being a man that doesn't love the Lord like Abel, he decided, I'm not going to do what the Lord wants. I'm going to bring him of the fruit of the grounds and impress him. So notice, if you would, number 2, they both brought their offerings to a particular place they thought God would receive it. He said, in process of time, you bring it off. They both brought an offering. Apparently, God had designated a time and a place. They both showed up for their offerings. And you'll notice in verse 3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the fruit, firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, and to Cain his offering he had not respect. So you can see that there was timing, there was location. They both came, they both knew the other's offering was accepted or not accepted. So they had to have been there at the same time. They had to have noticed God accepted one, did not accept the other. And you'll notice, if you were in the outline, Abel brought a sacrifice of blood as an offering just as God wanted. And God had given them the example in chapter 3, verse 21, when he shed blood for these animals to cover up Adam and Eve. Well, now, keep in mind, the boys understood. You know that the father, Adam, explained it to them. Your mom and I sinned. And God had to shed a blood, the blood of an animal, to clothe us. In the future, every offering we bring to the Lord will always be of an animal. Blood must be shed. That's what God said to us. And Cain is listening to this. And he says, you know, I think I can impress God with the great fruits I've grown. Cain represents the works of man. Abel represents the offering to God of blood. You see, we cannot work at building blood, but we can work at building the fruits of the ground. And so the end result is God says, I don't want you to bring fruits of the ground, fruits of your labor. Notice, if you would, in verse number four, and you'll put it all together in a minute, because what is it that God curses when he curses Cain for his disobedience? He cursed the ground. So there is Cain, his pride is, I'm a farmer, I can raise crops, I can make beautiful fruits and beautiful vegetables, I'll impress the Lord. He has to accept what I want to give him, and it's the symbol of works-based salvation. And that's why God had no respect for it. So he knew better. Abel brought the right offering. And you know that Adam had trained his boys, but Cain didn't listen. Now notice, if you would, B in the outline, Abel brought a sacrifice of blood. But notice C, Cain knew God wanted a blood offering, but I don't think he wanted to go to his brother and say, can I trade you some of these great fruits that I've got and get a lamb from you? Because he didn't want to submit himself to the fact that Abel had raised sheep and he had not. And so he wanted to get his fruits approved by God. He knew better, but he wouldn't listen. And so you'll notice in seeing the outline, Cain knew God wanted a blood offering, but brought his fruits of the ground. It should be ground, not gourd. It should be ground. They signified man's works given to God to remove sin, and the Lord rejected his offering. So understand Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Cain was proud of his offering, going to bring it to the Lord, and said, here it is, Lord, this is what I've done. And Abel shed the lamb's blood and said, Lord, this is the blood of the lamb that you asked for. And so one was accepted, one was not. Now we see the precedent for why the Lamb of God, John, looked at Jesus Christ in the book of John, chapter 1, said, behold, the Lamb of God, when Jesus is walking up to him, that taketh away the sin of the world. So the Lamb's offering started in the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. And it has been that way throughout history until Jesus came. And when Jesus came and died on the cross, does anybody remember his last words? It is finished. So what started in Genesis chapter 4 as an offering that would cover sins, in the Old Testament, it's always used a term called atonement, Hebrew word for covering. So all the sins of the Old Testament saints were covered with an offering of a lamb. Covered, covered, covered. Until one day, the perfect lamb came and it is finished, paid forever. And a part of what people don't understand is I just had a conversation with a man yesterday that said, well, you know, once you get saved, you sort of have to live it or you lose it. And I said, well, then how do you lose eternal life? Eternal is eternal. If you lose it, it wasn't eternal. I see what you're saying. And the gift of eternal life was paid for by Jesus Christ with his shed blood. And so if he gives you the gift of eternal life, he's washed away all your sins, past birth to 20, birth to 6, birth to 50, present, today, and tomorrow. It's all finished, paid for. You ask him to forgive you and he blots it all out. So Abel says, okay, Lord, I want to bring an offering to you, and I'm bringing an offering of a lamb. And God said, paid for. I forgive it. Cain says, look, Lord, what I have done. God says, I don't accept that. Now, notice with me, if you would, in Romans number 2, Cain, as we know in chapter 4, becomes furious. If you'll notice the wording in verse 6, you'll be able to see it, 5 and 6. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you, I put it in here, the word wroth or wrath in Hebrew means to burn or to be hot. It's to just be on fire inside, to where you lose your common sense. It's to be so angry you don't think. It's to burn up on the inside. Many men have a temper like Cain's. And as a matter of fact, what's the difference between first degree and second degree murder, according to law? First degree murder, I knew what I was doing and I meant to do it. Second degree murder is I just lost control. I couldn't think. I was so angry. I was just, and I killed him. I did, but I didn't realize what I was doing. It wasn't like I was thinking about it. I was just so mad. Second degree murder. Even our country and our court system recognizes the difference between premeditated murder and angry, hot murder. I just lost it. And folks, today, no Christian, a part of what God gives to us the Holy Spirit for is to temper our anger, to get it under control where we yield it to the Holy Spirit. And when we get upset about something, the Holy Spirit says, now, calm down, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Ecclesiastes. So we learn by the Holy Spirit's guidance to put our anger down, our temper down. Now, when it says, notice in verse 5, two parts here. anger, and Cain was very wroth. There's the anger. And notice, and his countenance fell. There's the attitude. The face shows that I'm angry. How many of you know people that when you see them, you can tell they're angry about something? Don't ever have to say a word. You just see it on their face. That's what happens when you get so angry on the inside. It shows up on the outside. And this is Cain. Now, notice if you would, in the outline, Cain was furious with God for rejecting his offering. Now, his first sin was to bring a gift that God told him not to bring. Bring an offering of blood. He didn't. His second sin was he became furious with God. Notice, if you would, in verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. With who? The Lord. And his countenance fell. You could see it all over his face, storming around, angry. And so the Lord speaks to him in verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you so violently angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? Why are you? I told you to bring a lamb and you brought fruits. Why are you angry with me? Notice verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. There's the proof that God told him what to do. If you do well, if you do what I said, you'll be accepted. But notice, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. If you don't do what I said, bring a lamb, bring a blood offering, then you're not going to be accepted, and that's your sin. So you can see here that God clearly identified what he wanted, and Cain refused to listen. Now, notice in the outline, A, Cain was furious with God for rejecting his offering. Now, notice one, wrath in Hebrew means to burn or to be hot. Two, countenance fell in Hebrew means his face was dejected or angry. His face told the story of what was in his heart. Cain was what you see is what you get. I don't care what you think about me. I'm just going to let it all hang out. Well, notice B, Cain developed bitterness toward his brother because God accepted his offering. Now, if you ever heard about being innocent in the wrong spot at the wrong time, this is it. So Abel simply obeys the Lord, brings a lamb offering, blood offering. God says, Abel, thank you. Your sin's forgiven. I'll cover your sin with the blood of this lamb. And Abel is thrilled. And he walks away. And Cain is just furious pacing because God didn't accept his. And so they meet in the field. Now notice, if you would, keep in mind, he's angry at God. And then he sees his brother and he knows he's been accepted. And so there's jealousy builds up in his heart toward his brother. His brother's done nothing wrong. But Cain hates him because God's been good to him and God wasn't good to Cain because he was not accepted. Now notice, if you would, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He rose up against him. Apparently they were talking and Abel said something about the lamb, and it's great to have your sin forgiven. And hey, brother, why didn't you? I would have given you a lamb that you could have used. You didn't have to buy it from me. And Cain was so furious at his brother because of the bitterness in his heart toward his brother because he was accepted and Cain was not, that he just in a rage killed him. Now, notice what happens. See, Cain murdered his brother and tried to hide it from God. We see the pattern. Now, folks, listen tonight. The pattern is in all of us. We sin. What's the next step for the flesh? We hide it. I remember being in first grade. It was not in the 1800s. I remember being in first grade. We had a pen and pencil. We had a pen and pad. And I remember in the first grade writing names, letters, writing all over the place. And I was so excited about getting outside and playing ball that I didn't have time to form my letters just like she said. It was too big a hurry. Anybody here like that? Don't raise your hand. So I got a C in writing in the first grade. I looked at that. What is my teacher thinking? I'm going to get killed. So I had to get it signed. So I, as a first grader, I wasn't real smart yet. Still not. But I'm smarter than that now. So I took my report card and I put it underneath my bed. I hid it. Nobody told me to. I have no idea where I got the idea. It's just I decided to hide it. Hide it so I wouldn't get in trouble. Well, God looks at Cain and said, notice if you would. Verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Lie number one. Now Cain is a grown man. I was a first grader. I did exactly the same thing with no training. So how is that possible? It's our nature. I hid it underneath my bed. My mother came to me having known so smart that report cards came out that day. She looked at me and says, did you get a report card? No, ma'am. Oh, was that a dumb move? And she said, you young man, come here. You got your report card and I want it right now. Yes, ma'am. I'll go up, get on the bed and give it to her. She looks at it. Well, she knows something's wrong. I wouldn't have hit it. God says, where is your brother? He said, I don't know. He lied. I lied. It is our nature to lie when we're confronted with something we've done wrong. It is our nature to cover it up, to hide it. Now, at least I was smarter than Cain. Because the next thing says, and he said, I know not. And the next statement was, am I my brother's keeper to the God of heaven? Okay, now notice in the outline. One, C1, he first lied and said, I know not. But notice two, then he got smart with God and said, am I my brother's keeper? I was smarter than that. I was not going to look at my mom and say, well, you know, you got my report card, so what? I wasn't going to do that. I was smarter than that. I can't imagine Cain looking at the God of heaven and saying, am I my brother's keeper? What's up with you? Can you imagine? Well, God was having none of it. My mom had none of it. But I learned one thing, don't ever lie. Cain didn't learn the lesson. I learned, look, you need to learn to say you're sorry and ask forgiveness and say, I'll do better. And you wouldn't have gotten your spanking. Really? No. Just tell the truth. Admit it and be honest. Okay. But you know, my first thought growing up was, I can't tell them. I'll be in trouble. My second thought was, I'll try to keep it from her. And then older I got, I began to read the scriptures, went to Sunday school. I heard, always say you're sorry. So when I would say, Mom, I didn't. I got my report card. Here's my grade. I made a C. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you, in school I did pretty well. In college and seminary, did pretty well. But I took British literature, or rather it took me, British literature, okay? Now, anybody know what British literature is composed of? Beowulf, number one. Shakespeare. Well, a boy from Texas that likes to hear every ball bounce, if it flies, rolls, bounces, I like it. And I was not interested in Shakespeare, nor was I interested in Beowulf. And my professor had a PhD in English literature, and he loved it. But his tone was the same on everything. And so I sat in the back of the class with my wrestling buddy, and we just sort of dozed off. Well, it came to the end of the class, and we were both scrambling because you had to pass that class. It's an English class. It's the only class I ever made C minus, minus, minus by the skin of my chinny chin chin. But I was smart enough. I sent that home, and I said, Mom, you see that A in Greek? Don't look at that. You see that A here? Don't look at that. You see that? Mom, you see that C minus minus in British literature? I'm so proud of that C. That's the best grade on that list. And she says, really? I said, Mom, I'm telling you, that was the hardest class I ever took in my life. Hardest to stay awake. I tried. And so if you look at my transcript, there it is. That's one failure. I couldn't keep awake. But I learned, don't hide it. I learned to say, Mom, I did my best, but it wasn't good enough. I just couldn't get interested. I'm sorry. And my mom helped me get through school. She'd send me money for dates with Susan, things like that. Not a lot, but it was just enough to know she loved me. And I just couldn't lie to her. I couldn't hide things from her. And I learned the lesson, and it's a spiritual response. I don't always have a spiritual response, but that's my desire. Unspiritual response, lie and cover it. Spiritual response, admit it, make it right, say, I'm sorry. And folks, it's still that way today for everybody. Doesn't matter what it is. Cain is the example. Now notice what happens. Look at me if you would. In C3, when we sin, we must repent or God will punish us. We've got to learn that lesson. Repent and we say, Lord, I know what you want me to do and I didn't do it and I'm sorry, will you forgive me? That's repentance. I'll fix it next time. I won't do that again. And folks, the lesson of Genesis 4 is don't sin, don't disobey the Lord's direct command and don't hide it when he does and don't lie about it, or the penalty gets greater. So notice what happens. Look at me if you would in verse number 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. I know you killed your brother and shed his blood on the ground. Verse 11. And now art thou cursed from the earth. Okay, watch this. Which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood with thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Okay, you're never again going to have a full crop. That's your punishment. Now, to a farmer, that was a death sentence. But on top of that, notice. And a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Cain liked to stay in one place and farm. Abel didn't mind roving around and watching his sheep and going from place to place. But Cain wanted to be in one spot, have a home, raise his crops. But God said, you could do that, but go to Abel and get an offering of blood, and we're good. Cain refused. And then when he killed his brother, he said, okay, I'm going to take the one thing that you love the most. I'm going to take the ground and curse it. And number two, I'm going to take the second thing that's most in your heart. You like to be in one place. You're going to be a vagabond and a fugitive. And then notice what he does in verse number 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond of the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. He said, I'm going to run from all of this punishment you've given me, and somebody's going to find me and kill me because I've disobeyed you. And so notice in verse 15, the Lord said unto him, therefore, Whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. We don't know what the mark was. It could have been a birthmark that he just allowed to appear. We don't know what it was. But it was something simple that when people saw Cain, they said, what is that mark for? And he would tell them, that's a mark that the Lord's put on me, that if anybody kills me, he's going to pay them back sevenfold. And everybody stepped back. Now, understand, he lost number one and number two treasures of his life. So when the Lord has to correct us, he usually starts with the thing most dear to us. Remember that lesson. What's the most dear to you? Many people say, well, it's my job, or it's my children, or it's my possession. And the Lord will touch that. Doesn't mean he destroys it and takes it away, like here with Cain. I think Cain is an example to all of us. There are people in Scripture, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Lord said, I'm giving you an example for all the children of Israel that wandered in the wilderness. Don't be like them. I gave them manna from heaven. They weren't thankful. Don't be like that. I asked them to worship me and they committed adultery. Don't be like that. And he gave an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He gave four or five things about them and said, these are examples to you. And then he says, there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. And he says, look, everybody's tempted the same way. He said, but look, I'll make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it, that you'll be able to say no. And so God says, here's the example. I want you to be able to say no to that. So Cain is the example for all of us to say no to. Don't disobey the Lord's commands. And if we do, admit it, repent of it, and say, I won't do it again. But don't lie about it and hide it. And we have to teach our children that from the earliest age. It's parental training. And we get it from right here. Now notice with me, if you would, in the outline. Four, God's punishment to Cain was to curse the ground for farming, and he would be a fugitive and a wanderer. We just read that. Verse 5, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord without repenting of his sin. Look at verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. Now, Nod is a Hebrew word for wandering. So he dwells in this city called Wandering. Perhaps he dwelt sometimes on one side of the city, another time on the other side of the city. The idea is that Cain was trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. We find that in Jonah's life. We find that in various men's lives that try to get away from the Lord. And yet we cannot do that. But he tried to do that. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You can't run from the presence of the Lord. But the reason he did that is because he would not repent. All of us in this room learn the lesson when we do something that's wrong, come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. If we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So tonight, the greatest lesson from Genesis 4 is that when you and I do something that's wrong, it doesn't have to be a murder. But when we do something that's wrong, we've disobeyed the Lord. We don't lie about it. We don't hide it. We don't get smart with God and blame somebody else. We admit it and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I got angry with my brother. I said something I shouldn't have said to my husband or to my wife. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. And the Lord says, he is faithful to forgive us. Now, notice with me if you would, Roman numeral 3, the first city was established by Cain. Look in verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. So, they start this city. Now, this is really the city and the beginning of evil as it begins to take over the world. And when I say that, I'm just going to go down this list here, but I'm going to come back in just a minute. Notice if you would, A, the city was named Enoch, which means dedicated, but they were dedicated to evil. They were dedicated to selfishness. They were dedicated to their own works. And when I say their own works, they were good at what they did. Notice, A, B in the outline, Jubal established agriculture. Look at verse 20. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. So this is the father of agriculture. And he was good at it. Notice in the outline, C, Jubal made musical instruments and played the first music. Look in verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. You've got Jabal in the first 20 and Jubal in verse 21. And he was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. So he's the first musician and he was good at it. Okay? Notice if you would, D, Jubal Cain established the metal industry. Look in verse 22. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Now, understand, each one of these men did certain things in their city, and they were known for it. So they were very gifted, and they worked hard, and they did well. It was self-labor. It was, look at what I've done. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 25, Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son, called his name Seth. The Hebrew word for Seth is appointed. So understand there's a generation that's passed now. Cain kills his brother. He's probably 18, 20 years old. Then he goes out and establishes a city, and Seth is born. Now Seth, notice if you would, verse 25, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So the Lord gives her another son that has the heart of Abel. Look in verse 26. And to Seth and to him and all that were born a son, and he called his name Enos, then began men to, here it is, call upon the name of the Lord. That same phrase is used in Romans chapter 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here's where the first men, aside from Adam and Eve, were saved. Now I want you to follow with me. This is what I want you to see. A, in the outline of Romans number 4, Seth was born to Adam and Eve. But notice B, Seth's descendants worshiped the Lord, but Cain's focused on earthly things. So Seth's generation focused on heavenly things and what the Lord did for them and what they could do for the Lord. But Cain focused on what we can do for ourselves, and they were fleshly and very good at gaining things and building things and having things. But I want you to notice something. This is a disturbing event as it goes in time. You have Cain, you have Seth. Look at chapter number 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Now, if you were to go through verses 6 through 24, you'll find that in verse 24, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. There were not very many men that walked with God in chapter 5. As a matter of fact, the world began to follow Cain because he was successful in all the things that he did. And so he became wealthy and successful, and the world began to go covetously toward him. Until, notice if you would, verse number 5 of chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And he said, I will destroy man. And he found one man that was different. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, what you notice, from Adam until Noah walked into the ark, you can do the calculation, 1,656 years passed. It took a millennium and a half for the whole world to go towards sin. That's our nature. Folks, our world is doing the same thing again. You and I have to stand up and say, look, I'm not going that way. The whole world can go that way. God is looking for some Noahs. And he's looking here. He's looking at us. He's saying, I need some Seths to hold the line. But if we do nothing, if we don't stand up for right, if we don't teach our children what's right, son, obey the Lord. When you fail, admit it. Say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I won't do it again. But don't lie about it. Don't hide it. We must teach our children those principles from chapter 4. If we don't, our children will go left like Cain did in time. Their saving grace is that we teach them to know the Lord and to recognize the Lord and to worship the Lord with their hearts. Not because they come to Temple Baptist Church, but because they have a personal relationship with them and the Lord. They learn to pray themselves. They learn to talk with the Lord. The Lord loves everyone in this room. You can have a personal relationship with him. And that's reading it said in Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. There were so few men and women that walked with the Lord. God saw one man. He said, look, I just want you to be with me. I think the Lord gets, and I'm not going to say lonely, but I think he loves fellowship. That's the reason he made us. And he wanted fellowship. And Enoch was apparently one of the very few. And he said, look, I want you to just come on home. I can't wait. You notice the average age here is like 800-900 years old. Enoch was gone at 300 and change. Why? Because he walked to the Lord and said, Lord, just come on home, Enoch. I want you. He was not. He just was gone one day. Now, understand, the Lord Jesus wants you and I to walk with him now. And Genesis is the story of God made man in the garden, made it perfect, and said, let's walk together. But I want you to do it because you choose me. You want me. I don't have to tell you. It is very difficult to fall in love with someone that you're told to. Many places in the world, women are assigned to men, and the marriage is not the same as it is when you choose one another. And the Lord says, I want you to choose me. I'm going to give you the choice. I'm not going to make you love me, but I'm asking you. Somebody tell me what the greatest command in Scripture is. The first command. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, body, and soul. That's what the Lord's looking for. So Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the cool of the evening every day, and the Lord loved it. He said, wow, it's working. But he said, I'm going to test them. Look, do you really love me? There's one tree. You saw the trees are beautiful. And it was a thousands of acres. It was the most gorgeous place you've ever seen in your life. There's one tree. Don't eat that one tree. And they did. I'm certain it broke the heart of God that day. Because two reasons. Number one, they had sort of rejected the Lord. They didn't love him enough. And number two, he knew what it would cost to bring them back. His only son. So today, you and I can learn the lesson of Cain and Abel. Abel wanted to do what's right. There are going to be people not like us when we do what's right. They're going to be jealous because they're not right with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit convicts their heart. And the old devil points out and says, look, they're goody two-shoes. They think they're better than you. No, you're just trying to do what's right. I guarantee you Abel felt the same thing. Brother, why are you mad at me? I'll help you make an offering of a lamb. I'll give you the lamb. I don't want your lambs. I want God to accept my offering. But he said he wouldn't. I don't want to hear it, and he kills it. Today, you and I, the Bible says Christians will always have it more difficult than other sinners because people will be jealous of people that do what is right. But remember, there's a God in heaven that says, walk with me. I'll give you the sweetest life you'll ever have if you walk with me. And tonight, I want to urge you, walk with the Lord. Enoch was not, and I can imagine, notice if you would, in verse number 23, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Can you imagine having the testimony, oh, there goes Enoch. He loves the Lord. He really enjoys the Lord. You'll see him in the evening going up the mountain, just talk with the Lord. You'll hear him from time to time as he talks out to the Lord. He cries out to the Lord. If you offend him, if he does something to you, he will always make it right. That's just Enoch. Today, is that us? That's the lesson of Genesis chapter 4. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer today. If you cause an offense to your mate, will you always make it right? If you cause an offense to somebody at work, will you always make it right? We're going to have a word of prayer. And tonight, remember to pray for Juan Chita and remember to pray for these that are not on the list. And if you would tonight, ask the Lord, what can I do to walk with you closer and sweeter? Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to learn the lesson that Cain would not listen to. Help us to, Lord Jesus, learn the lesson of Enoch. He walked with you, and you just decided to bring him on home. Lord, help us to be so close to you that you long for our presence, and we long for yours. Speak to hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.